Do you know that God says you better be able to give an answer? You don't get a pass on not knowing what to say. It's your responsibility to have an answer. Everyone in here ought to be able to get in the conversations that are being talked about today. Be the girl that stands for her conviction. The definition of conviction, listen, is a strong persuasion or belief, the state of being convinced. I love in Acts 26, here is Paul, and he's going before King Agrippa. They're getting ready to kill him, and the king says, bring him. And for the whole chapter of Acts 26, Paul stands there and makes his defense. And look at the king. What does he say? Oh, Paul, thou hast almost persuaded me to become a Christian. He knew how to give an argument. He knew how to give a defense. He knew how to speak up. One thing that fires me up is, girl, know what to say. Open your mouth. Have a word and wake up. I love that passage. Have a solid foundation. Let's go on in Exodus 1:18. I know I get serious. Okay, one thing about me, like people will come up to me and they'll go, are you okay, Pastor Tammy? And I'll go, yeah, why? I'm intense. I'm a three. I'm focused. I have one agenda today, and that's to fire you up. I have one agenda, and that's for you to know. So when I get to teaching, I know, I mean, I'm not funny like my daughter or Bianca or the seven that Erica is. Everything's a party. I mean, my daughter says you're so cute when you try to be funny. And I mean, it's not my thing, but you're going to get truth from me. And you're going to get a life coach you didn't have to pay a whole lot for today. And I'm going to get up in your business because I want you to wake up and know what you believe. Are we all good with that? All right, this is my role. All right, let's go on to Exodus 1:18 and 19. Listen, then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? I love these midwives. I love these women. The midwives answered. First of all, they weren't afraid to answer. Don't be afraid to answer your Pharaoh, your king, your president, your councilman or woman or mayor. Hey, guys, we cannot let these politicians, these leaders speak for us. Well, maybe they're supposed to speak for us, but they're not speaking for us. They're speaking for them. They weren't afraid to speak to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh of Egypt said, why have you disobeyed my order? And here's what they said. They were so creative. They were so clever. It's okay. Just be clever. My husband calls it Jehovah sneaky. You know, you can be Jehovah sneaky in your responses. I'm going to give you a verse for that in a moment. And the Hebrew women said, well, they're not like the Egyptian women. They're very vigorous. They had to give a plug. You know, our women aren't like your women. You know, these Hebrew women, they're vigorous. And by the time the midwife gets there, they've already had the baby. So that's how they answered the Pharaoh. Very clever. You must speak up and speak out. Listen to me. This was the first act of civil disobedience. This was civil disobedience. They were disobeying an order of the Pharaoh, of the king, of a leader. I'm going to give you the definition. I love the definition of civil disobedience. Look, because every one of you have done it in the last year. This is civil disobedience. The active, professed refusal of a citizen to obey certain laws, demands, orders, or commands of a government. Let me tell you right now, if you've not been a part of civil disobedience, you will be. Because our country's changing, our times are changing, our voice needs to change. You need to be active in your government and in your country to speak up and speak out. I'm okay with civil disobedience. We took a stand in this church, and I'm not, you know, I just had a talk with two other people. My husband has shared this openly the last several weeks, but we wanted to open. We felt we needed a place for people to come and wear your mask, sit outside, be online. I love all my online ladies. We've got a lot of people watching online, and we love you. We want to give you the respect and the honor and the right to do whichever you want to do. There's no shame in anything. But some wanted to come. Do you know when I watched some of you come in today? You were crying. Tears were welling up in your eyes. You saw a prayer wall. You saw women laughing. We were dancing. We were hugging. We were doing those things. Now, that's an act of civil disobedience. I mean, sorry, the mayor's in the room. I got to be careful here. But there will be times, guys, where you're going to have to act. And we've chosen at this church to be open, to speak up, and to speak out. And these are two role models for me, Shifra and Pua. I mean, I just can't wait to meet these women one day. So that's what civil disobedience is. Let's go on. Matthew 10, 16. Listen, this is why I told you. Remember how they were tricky? They were like, I'm so sorry, Pharaoh. By the time we get to these Hebrew women, they're so vigorous. See, why was he not afraid of baby girls? Double dumb. There's dumb and there's double dumb. He was double dumb because the women are the ones he should have feared. The women are the ones that rose up. The midwives were the ones that were creative and crafty. Look what the scripture says in Matthew 10, 16. Here's what Jesus said. He's crafty. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Don't have an evil agenda, but be smart. Be wise, be kind, and then be the girl that leaves a legacy. Be the girl that leaves a legacy. Look at Exodus 1:21. I love this verse. I've read this 1,000 times. I've never seen it like this before. And because the midwives feared God, come on, girlfriend, do you fear God more than you fear the government or your circumstances or the enemy or the lies or the fear or the shame? He gave them families of their own. It was a gift. It's called legacy. The next generation needs your voice today. The next generation, I've got a beautiful daughter and a beautiful daughter-in-law here. And I got 7 precious grandbabies. And every time I look in their eyes, I wonder what's America gonna be like for them. On my watch, in this moment, I'll make a difference where I can. So they have a right for the freedom of church and religion and expression and speech. I love this verse. And you probably have never tied this verse together. It's so good. In Psalm 78:6, listen. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. Vicky, if that's not a good verse for you, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. This is legacy, girls. Some of you are so consumed with yourself that you haven't thought about the next generation and what's to come. This soil that we're standing on was sacrificially given to us, and we must do something for the next generation. We're living in a time that our testimony, our conviction, and our beliefs are being censored, challenged, and criticized. There's nothing more attractive to me than a woman that knows what she believes. I sit around with a woman and I love to learn. I want to be a woman that knows how to articulate what I believe. What I want to do in my next few moments together, and I hope you write these down, I want to give you the steps. Everybody knows when I teach, there's tools, tips, steps, something. The steps to build your belief system. So here's how you build your belief system. Number one, be honest with yourself. You've got to start there. If you don't know anything, say, I don't know anything. If you've been lazy, say, I've been lazy. If you've taken your country or your church or your voice or your rights for granted, be honest with yourself. What do I know and what don't I know? You've got to start by being honest with yourself. Listen, know the difference. This is so good. Know the difference between biblical truth and personal preferences. Because I've been following some people on Instagram that I had to unfollow. Great faith leaders, thought leaders, men and women of God. And they had personal preferences that weren't biblical truth. I'm telling you what, I am just, I don't know why, surprised. Ask yourself if what you believe is a personal preference or a biblical truth. Number two, you got to research and study. You got to research. Now, I know in a room this size, any crowd this size, that 100% of you are in the room, 70% of you are listening, and 20% of you will do something with it. That's just statistically true. In every sermon, every message, anything you ever go to, you'll either be the 100% in the room, the 80% that hears, 70% that hears, or the 20% that will do something. But if 20% of you girls will be the girl, we got an army. If 20% of you will do something with this, if you will research and study, when I don't know something, I check it out. I started to say I Google it. I'm kind of upset with Google right now. I'm trying to find some new search engines. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm ready to boycott Google. I was praying the other day and I said, God, do I Google it? And he said, no, got it. Just come to me. I got all the answers. Just, it, you know, Google's easy, but you know, it's hard to get in the Word of God and find the answers. You got to study. You got to research. You got to ask God. You never go wrong with the Word of God. Next, don't be afraid of hard questions. See, here's a problem. Some of you are so fearful of the hard questions. And that may be who you are in your Enneagram. You run from hard questions because you don't know how to answer. I was with some girls the other day and a topic came up that I wasn't familiar with. And there's so much going on. Actually, I was with Danielle and we were talking and she says, you no longer can call it breastfeeding. It's now called chest feeding. You can't do gender reveal parties because they're they babies until they're 4 years old. And then they can decree whether they're a boy or a girl, depending on what the mood they're in that day. I heard about Mr. Potato Head, but that was revoked. Apparently, Mr. Potato can continue to be Mr. Potato Head, but he was the Potato Head. I mean, this is too crazy to make this up. And we can laugh and go, are you kidding me? I mean, I can't have a gender reveal party. I'm going to be shamed if I have a pink cake versus a blue cake because I've done something to tarnish my child. That's the world we're living in, ladies. Research it and study it and know what you believe. I love this quote. Listen, the first step to receiving an answer is being brave enough to ask the question. Ask a question. Don't be mean or hateful. Just ask the question. Next, be a good listener and learner. There's so much I don't know. I have had my head in the sand. I'm just being as honest. I haven't seen what our kids have been studying in school. I haven't been looking at politics. Until the pandemic, I was in my little spiritual world. I'm just going to really be honest. I love the Word of God. I love coaching people. But I live in a little spiritual world. It's safe, and I like it, and I like doing my prayer walks, and I like being a pastor's wife, and I like my little church. And then the pandemic came, and God said, what are you going to do? Are you going to let the arrow of fear and dissension and confusion run this world? Are you going to step up and be the girl and know what you believe? And I have learned so much. I could not be more proud of my husband and how he's teaching us here on Sunday mornings, both with, yeah, let's give him a hello. He's sitting through this conference. And I'm his advocate. I am his advocate, but he studies. And let me just do a shout out. We're so excited because he has something called American Faith. And every Sunday, we're launching it tomorrow. Every Sunday, and God is just like, you know, he's so cool. I love God. And so he's planning on launching American Faith. And then we get this call from this guy in LA that's Jewish. And he's like, I'm loving what you guys are doing. And I'm really excited about trying to take the Jewish world and put it with the evangelical world. He just happens to be a very well-known producer in Hollywood, and he has his partner is a very well-known actor in Hollywood, and he invited Pastor Phil and I to come up and meet with them, and we're meeting in their offices. It's John Foyt. Foyt, yeah. You know that guy, Angelina Jolie's daddy? Yeah, him. And then Stephen Paul, who's a producer, like multi-million dollar producer. And so we connect with them, and they call this week, and they said, hey, we'd like to come down to your church on Sunday, and we'd like to just do an interview with you. So if you're not doing anything tomorrow and you want to be at church, they'll be right here on the stage doing an interview with Pastor Phil because he's taken a stand for American faith. Because he's doing something with a conviction, and God is moving. God will use those that want to be used. Do you want to be used? Be a good listener. Be a good learner. Listen to conversations. If you're sitting in a conversation, you don't know what they're talking about, ask a question. Like, you guys, I don't know what that is. What's the difference between breastfeeding and chest feeding? Well, apparently there's a difference because, well, actually, I don't understand the difference, but there must be. Ask the hard question. What's the difference? Are you with me? That was supposed to be funny. But, you know, I mean, it just, we don't want to offend a man. If a man wants to breastfeed or chest feed their child, I don't know. That's how cray-cray our world is coming. I love this scripture in James 1:19. See, the Word of God will just speak if you read it. Everything you need to know is in the Word of God. God did not leave us or forsake us. He didn't leave us as orphans. He gave us a word. He's not up in heaven wringing his hands going, oh my, what will we do? He knows exactly what he's doing. In James 1:19, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Listen, everyone, is there anybody in this room that's not an everyone? Okay, I think that's us. Everyone, listen, should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. This was written for COVID-19. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. Listen to conversations. I don't know. Actually, what I'm gonna do, I don't have it all figured out yet. It just came to me on prayer walk yesterday, is I think I'm gonna come back in the next few weeks and start doing podcasts on what we need to know about what we believe. Because I have to research some of this stuff, you guys. See, when I put myself in that place, it makes me have to prepare. I don't know what I think about this. I have to research it. I have to study, and you do too. We have to know what we believe. And then be articulate. You have to know how to defend your position, guys. You have to know how to give an account. So what I say to do is ask yourself some hard questions and then write down your answers. What do I believe about abortion? What do I believe about transgender? What do I believe about racial discrimination? What do I believe? Because if I can't answer it, I don't have a belief system. If you can't say what you believe, then you don't believe anything. You have to know and articulate what you believe. Listen what it says in Colossians 4, 6. Listen, see, Bible's talking to you, girlfriend. If you know Jesus, this is your book. This is your first constitution. Are you with me? Here's what it says in Colossians 4, 6. Listen, let your speech, listen, always be with grace and seasoned with salt. It got to taste good. It's got to be tasty. Now, we love baked potatoes in my house. I talked about this in my podcast. You know, we used to bake a potato, and now we microwave a potato because everything's instant. I don't want to wait 30 minutes for a potato. But we put it in. My husband loves salt, like lots of salt. I don't like salt. I just like a baked potato. Mine's naked, and his is filled with stuff. But the other day, he didn't finish his whole baked potato. I didn't tell you. And I'm doing dishes, and I love baked potatoes, so I wasn't going to let it go to waste. And a big old piece of baked potato, everything on it. I'm doing dishes, and I pick that up and put it in my mouth. I'm like, Lord, have mercy, not out of baked potato. That is a good baked potato. It was seasoned with salt. It tasted so good. Do you know that's what you're supposed to be? When I see you, Carrie, you're seasoned with salt. You are. You're just seasoned with salt. I watched you the other day take care of somebody that nobody else was taking care of. You were seasoned with salt. Aaron, you're seasoned with salt, with your humor and your love. I watch you being seasoned with salt. Ladies, when people are around you, do they feel that you're seasoned with salt? That you're so attractive, they want to be around you? I love saying be irresistibly attractive. That's what Holy Spirit will do in you. You're just a magnet because people want to be around you. That's what a woman who knows what she believes will do. And then the last thing, listen, be kind. Be kind. Listen, you don't have to prove your point. This isn't a day to be angry, mean, and resentful. Ephesians 4, 32, listen, be kind to one another. Now, these are verses you should know. The day is going to come, whether in my lifetime or my kids, that our Bibles are going to be confiscated. They're already being taken up in a lot of places. If you have not hid, why do you think he's doing? It's just a sweet verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. No, hide it, because someday it may be taken away. You better know these verses, ladies. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. I don't know about you, but I love Candace Cameron Bure. She's just a sweetie. You know why I love her? I loved her because she went head-to-head on The View with Whoopi and Joy. And that girl wasn't afraid to speak up. She knew what she believed. But she's got a new book. I love it. It's called Kind is the New Classy. And I was listening to it on my prayer walk. I've actually reached out to her and thanked her, and we're trying to get her for our conference for next year. So pray that works out. And you may not agree with her. Well, I mean, you don't agree with everything I say. But I admire her because she's not afraid to speak up and speak out for what she believes. But she does it with grace and class. See, I want to be a woman that you may not agree with me, but I want you to say at least she does it with grace and class. Don't be that girl that's mean and angry and bitter and tries to throw everybody under the bus on social media. I was reading through some things. We posted something here at the church, and I was reading people's answers, you know, responses, and I'm like, why? And then other people coming, you shouldn't say that. You don't even know him. Why would you say that about her? Why? Well, it's easy because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Don't be mean. Be classy. Be graceful. I love this quote. Listen, we're going to end with this. Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. You know, there's not a lot of paths out there right now for righteousness. There are not a lot of paths for righteousness. I want to be righteous warriors. I want to be women of influence. I want to be the girl. I want you guys to be that as well. Well, I hope you have been challenged through this message to just take a moment and ask yourself what you believe about some really hard topics that your kids may know more than you do. If that's the case, start researching. Amen. You know, we're going to enter into a really fun time right now, and I think, oh, we have a video. Thank you, Natalie. That's why you do what you do. Oh, I didn't start with my video. Oh, is that, do we have another video too? Well, forget the other video. I was going to start with the video, but that's okay. This is a video. I don't know if you guys have appreciated a lot of these videos have been stories, and these are women that are in our house, women of influence, and I wanted you to hear some of the stuff they've overcome over the last year through COVID-19. Take a moment and turn your eyes to the screen. Hey ladies, well I am so excited to share with you a powerful story. You know, here we are at the Be the Girl Conference, and one thing I want to talk to you about is be the girl that fights back.
I had just celebrated my 30th birthday. We just announced to our friends and family that we were pregnant and expecting a baby girl while I had a 10-month-old son already. And then we were hit with some, as you said, devastating, very shocking, and scary news that I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I was 14 weeks pregnant, and you know, it was immediate shock. So we just wanted to make sure that we were strong in faith from the beginning, ready to fight whatever battle was gonna take, whatever the journey was gonna be for us. We were ready no matter what the fight was gonna be to go. And you know, we didn't allow life to stop. We continued life, we continued living, we continued coaching, we coach, you know, health and fitness and competitors and things like that. So a lot of that is what kept us strong. But the best part of it and the most important part is our faith in God.
You know, you said, and this is what I love, it is you had to fight back.
Yes.
You know, be the girl to fight back, because you had to fight fear. You had to fight the lies, you had to fight the emotions, and you had to even fight the fact that someone possibly gave you the option to give up your baby.
And they have to provide all the options. One of the options was possibly to terminate the pregnancy, and for me, that was not an option. There was no question about it. So the next option was to start chemotherapy immediately with the baby in the womb, and there was no way of waiting for chemo after she was born. It needed to be started right away to take action, to, you know, to fight it, to fight it off.
And you know what I love, Bernadette, is you're about this 3 months pregnant or so at this time, and you have to go another 6 months with wondering. And we began to pray life over your body, healing over your body. I remember going to the prayer wall and putting your name in and asking Cheryl every once in a while, how is Bernadette? How's it going with Bernadette? Because over those months, the angst, I'm sure, and anxiety, how did you fight back? I know you did it through prayer. You told me a little about the family prayer.
Yes. From the day I was diagnosed, our family just came together. We pray every single night still to this day for the last, you know, year and a half. Every single night we stop what we're doing, 7 p.m., and we connect and we pray, and we pray hard. And that has been what's kept me strong, strong in faith, and keeping me positive, and, you know, just so grateful for such a strong team and coming here to the church. You know, I felt that the prayer was powerful, and just to know to have so much support and love, and you know, that is what I feel got me through it, through the whole thing. But also to just keep women strong, staying healthy, staying active, loving your body, and just being grateful for every single day that we are here on earth, because God, if you pray, God will answer your prayers, and He works miracles. He really does. Yes.
Well, I thank you for your time and being vulnerable to share your story.
Thank
You're beautiful. And ladies, I know that this story has touched your heart. I want to encourage you right now, in whatever way God's speaking to you, be the girl that God has called you to be. Thanks so much. Love you, girl.
Thank you so much.